Welcome to episode 3 of the Main Line of Beyond with Mark Singer. Tonight's guests are Dean Rubenstein and Judy Nayari of Ja People and Dean & Company. As always, thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoy the show. Welcome. Episode 3, Main Line of Beyond with Mark Singer. I'm very excited to be here tonight with my good buddy, Dean Rubenstein.
Excited to... It's Stein.
Stein.
It's Stein. Usually when people say Steen, they want to say Steen because it rhymes with Dean. And if they do, I usually don't correct. But right. If we get into it and you ask, like somebody asked, Stein, Rubenstein.
I knew a Steen for a little over 20 years, ironically. So yeah. You never know what to expect when it comes to this.
I think the origin is like New York, Philly. Or yeah. New York and everywhere else, you know, where you... If people settled in New York, they stuck with the Steen thing, and you know, I think.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I'm sure.
Anyway, it's great to be here. It's really great, and we've been friends for a long time, and I'm really great, glad to see that you're doing this. I think it's perfect, and happy to be here in Ardmore with you, and I brought a friend with me.
Yes.
Judy Nayari. She's my really dear friend and vocalist, fellow vocalist in Dean & Company. We've been doing that. We've been singing together for over 5 years now.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to have a good interview in just a minute and even get to hear a couple songs.
Awesome. Word from our sponsors first?
Yes.
It's not my first rodeo.
I've forgotten the first two episodes. So these shows are brought to you by by ilovemarksinger.com, no doubt about it.
There it is. And that's a really nice logo.
Thank you. Oh my goodness, Dean made this. I don't know if you want me to say that publicly.
I don't care.
Copyright.
No, a lot of copyright.
Right, yeah. Steven Singer, who?
Just buy a gold rose from him and he'll be happy. Yeah. For Valentine's Day.
Does he sell
those? He sells gold dip roses for Valentine's Day.
This is news to me.
Here we go. It's Mark, buy a gold rose. Yeah, we don't have to worry about the copyright of the thing. But yeah, during the pandemic, one thing that I did, I started teaching myself graphic design and graphic arts because I was paying people to do my posters and stuff. And it was a lot of time, man, sitting at home. And I did a quarantine, which was a live stream every day.
How many did you
86.
Do?
86 in a row, days.
All different themes every single time?
Different themes and paying tribute to different artists. And,
right.
I just did one at a time, and they weren't perfect. And very often I had some, you know, at home, you know, I was drinking quite a bit.
Oh,
you know, it was the quarantine, you're home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Quarantine.
And you have a nice bar in the basement.
Yeah. But I'm glad, you know, it helped me get through it, having a purpose and something to do every day. Mm-hmm. And then also, people do tell me that they tuned in and that you tuned in.
Mm-hmm.
And people tell me that they look forward to it at 4:20 every day. And that really made me happy that people enjoyed that. But I taught myself little graphics during, I wanted to make the time somewhat useful. Mm-hmm. So I taught myself a little bit of digital art, and that is one of my most proud creations.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you saying that.
Of course.
Because it's got many compliments. Will tell me, you know, whatever. It is great, you know, and the stickers are around town. To help bring,
I think I put one on the Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru window.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
I went through the drive-thru and
did you say that publicly that you?
I don't care.
Okay,
I don't care.
Give me a pound. That's good. That's good stuff.
Yeah,
and I don't appreciate
care.
That.
I don't really care.
But yeah, it's an active website. It has to do with my real estate business. So you know, if you like me, it's all about feeling comfortable. Of course, there's things that I know, things I don't know, but you know, I do take it seriously. If you trust me to guide you through that process, you won't be sorry. I've already worked with some good friends. I know the city.
Our drummer.
Danny Allen.
That's right.
Yes.
Our drummer.
That was the one that hit home the most in the earliest song where I was like, wow, you know, this is really, it's a pretty important thing to secure a house and ownership, and Danny needed help and he came to me for it. And I was like, man, there's so many people out there that do this.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure he had other friends, but everything worked out great. We found his house
so
at
happy.
A garage. It was bus in South Philly. His VW bus could fit in the garage. He was like,
this is the one.
He made beautiful custom doors.
And he was one of the first to see it. So that seller could have kept it on the market for a while, but I went to bat for him. I'm like, look, he's a union carpenter. He's a good guy. You know, we got
everything. He was so happy.
Yeah.
He was so happy.
He really was.
And with Scott Brooks, I have to say, Scott Brooks as well from Allied Mortgage.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He also helped him, and it was just really like a team effort, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was the first one. We came to settlement.
Really
we all
beautiful.
Hugged. It was beautiful.
And you know what? You can do that for other people, you know, and you can make that feel-good story and just make the whole thing just, you know, when you take that picture, when you're handing over your new key, that feeling, you care. So the smile on your face is equally as genuine as the people that are getting in your new home. That's what I know about you. You really care about who you're working with.
I do, and I care that, you know, that everything, you know, you can't please everybody, but that, you know, you guide through the process. It's an important one. Everyone's happy.
Absolutely.
Everyone's happy.
Good.
So, yeah. That's something that you can always check out. And everything's going really well there, too. I've been working with some new buyers and things like that are just... It's inventory still low, so it's a matter of finding the right house and things like that. But because of that, now sellers are accommodating a little bit more with things like seller assist and buying down the rates. So people, even in some situations where the rates are high, the sellers are willing to put up some money to buy the rate down if the house has been sitting for a little while. So there are always options and things that you may not be aware of. And the truth is, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but if you have a good agent, a good realtor, they should take the baton and run with it. Meaning, you now have nothing on your plate, and that person should pretty much handle everything for you, and that's what you're paying for. People wonder, but it's a lot. People wonder, some people have these delusions, like we just go out and it's just this easy thing, and we all make all this money and high five. And it's not really true. Just so you know.
Well, in this market, if you don't mind me saying, and we don't have to talk about real estate the whole time,
but
in this market, the realtor has to work, has to go the extra mile and do a lot more work. And I don't think there's anybody that I know that's more relentless and more driven and more hardworking than you, Mark Singer. And I'm not just saying that. Look at you. You're a driven guy. And you managed to place a mean slide guitar and steal your peach on top of that.
It's a lot of fun. And that's a good thing for you bringing that up. We just had a great gig Saturday night at the Newtown Theater. I highly recommend going to that place for any show. It's one of those beautiful old historic theaters that had a lot of money put in for renovations. And sound is great. They do all kinds of good stuff. There's a reggae band coming through there actually called Crucial, doing some Bob Marley.
I'm friends with Crucial.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we did a show next door at Ardmore, Crucial.
Okay.
Yeah, I love those guys. They're great guys.
Yeah,
great local
job. People should play there for sure.
That'd be great if they call. Newtown Theater, give us a call.
Yeah. Big losses this week in the music community between, first, David Crosby.
Yeah.
Which first, Jeff Beck, really. You
right.
know? And a guy who seemed pretty healthy that, you know, I don't know all the details, but...
I think he had meningitis, bacterial meningitis or something like that. And it
right.
took him very quickly.
Right, that's what I mean. It was something where he was very healthy.
But he looked very healthy. He looked very fit when he was on stage. And that one hit it. It blindsided me.
Talk about a signature voice. Like, to me, that's the defining characteristic of what I look for in a guitar player. You know, there are guitar players that can shred all over the neck that may be on like a virtuoso level, but sometimes you can't tell one from the other. Someone like Jeff Beck or any of my favorite players.
Derek Trucks.
Jerry Garcia. John Scofield.
Dwayne
Allman. As soon as you hear the first note or a couple notes. Even Trey.
Stevie Ray Vaughan. Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Totally. So that's what's, you know,
yeah.
I mean, Jeff Beck was, you know,
he was
any of the best guitarists pretty much put him on the highest pedestal. And I could see why. I went back and listened to Blow by Blow. And, man.
Yeah. It's Guitar Shop, I know, all that stuff.
And I got to see him twice, which was cool. One time with Brian Wilson, which was one of the best shows I think I've ever seen.
Was that at the Man?
It was at the Tower.
At the Tower, wow.
And man, the vocal harmonies behind Brian Wilson were just mind blowing. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, one of his, I think his musical director, somebody in his band is actually Christopher Cross from If You Get Lost Between the Moon and New York City.
Oh, yeah.
So he has that high voice, and I noticed Brian Wilson tours with him, and I think he does the Mike Love parts of the Beach Boys songs. And he's also, I think, he was the musical director when I saw him do, he did Pet Sounds. They came to the man and they did Pet Sounds. Mm-hmm. And Christopher Cross, I believe, was the musical director on that tour. And it was a very, you know, brilliant. So brilliant.
It was, yeah. And the pairing of it, too.
Two geniuses.
Yeah, I walked into that show, like, expecting a great show and walked out, like, mind blown. Holy moly. Yeah. And then I saw Buddy Guy open for Jeff Beck at the PNC Arts Center, which was a great show, too.
And, did they share the stage and play with each other? Or?
They didn't. No. But
so, I mean, that would have been great.
Jeff had Prince's bass player that night, Rhonda.
Okay.
But she was amazing. And Jimmy Hall came out on harmonica and vocals.
Oh, I know Jimmy Hall. Yeah,
super he's soulful.
Yeah. Absolutely. He's unbelievable. I think he's a New Orleans cat.
Yeah, he did. Wet Willie was his band.
Wet Willie, no. I saw him play with the Allman Brothers. He came out and played with the Allman Brothers.
Long-time friends. You get back to the Duane era. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
Friends of,
he's unbelievable.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So David Crosby, you know, horrible loss after Jeff Beck.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, an icon of the era that, let's face it, you know, guys like us playing music like Allman Brothers and Grateful Dead is reflective of the 60s generation. David Crosby is certainly an icon who wrote music during that time. And
taught the dead how to harmonize.
Yeah, the harmonies were so great, and yeah, taught the dead how to harmonize. But then in addition, they were really the first ones. You know, people were mad at Dylan from going from folk to electric.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, they took the chocolate of folk and then took the peanut butter of electric and rock and merged, especially when Young came in.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was folk, but they rocked. I mean, they had an edge and they rocked and it rocked. You know? Mm-hmm. So it was like, I think that they were one of the first real folk bands that started out with a folk kind of thing.
I got it.
And then had that, it really was a unique sound. And then their voices together becoming one.
Yeah, their harmony.
Was, yeah, it was just so unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a huge loss. Mm-hmm. So, I've been very fortunate to see David Crosby many times live.
No kidding.
Yeah. The first time, 1986, we went to Madison Square Garden for this Crackdown on Crack concert. CSN and the Allman Brothers in Santana.
Oh.
And Run DMC. And they booed Run DMC off the stage.
Why?
And Reverend Run said, I beg your pardon, this is Run's garden.
Why did they run him off the stage?
It was just like a rock crowd. And back then, I mean,
1986.
It was 86. It wasn't that far from like.
Hip-hop was not accepted among.
No, and rap.
Yeah.
If you go back a decade earlier, they were burning disco records. How silly is that?
Yeah.
Right.
They were burning.
And now we all love the Bee Gees.
In Cleveland, they were burning disco records. So it's, for some reason, people always have this mentality of verses instead of, all right, well. And then when Aerosmith, you know, did Walk This Way with Run DMC, they showed, you know what, and you know what? It reminds me of Ricky Nelson. You know about Ricky Nelson from Ozzy and Harriet? He was the son of Ozzy and Harriet.
Mm-hmm.
And he died in a plane crash, but he had his own musical career. And I believe it was the concert, I could be wrong, but I believe it was like early 70s, and it was like Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the concert for Bangladesh, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
George Harrison.
Right.
Clapton was there, and like everyone.
Robbie Shankar, right.
And they brought Ricky Nelson out. And for some reason, people thought of him as a square in a time when people were like too cool
right,
for school.
Right.
And they booed him off the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And he went and turned around and wrote a song called Garden Party. And it's great. And if anybody, you know, hasn't heard that story, most people, I don't know, I think most people may know. But it was like he, you know, just imagine, it probably crushed him. Any of us were performers. Can you imagine getting booed off a stage? So he got booed off the stage, and what did he do? He did something therapeutic, and he stood up and he said, you know what, I'm going to write this song. So if you listen to the song Garden Party, it's about him getting booed off the stage at the garden and how he dealt with it.
Okay.
You know, some people would just go cower and hide in a hole.
Right.
I don't know, maybe I would. Right. But I'm from Philly. I probably
would not.
I would not. I'm from Philly. I gotta fight back. But
He gives the guy credit.
And Reverend Ron said, I beg your pardon. This is Ron's garden. But anyway,
right.
Back to CSN. I saw him perform there.
Right.
Again.
You know, it's a Festival Express, that documentary. Shauna Na is on there.
Oh.
And I feel like they're really out of place in a kind of similar.
And they were at Woodstock.
Like, it was like Buzz.
They were at Woodstock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even where the Dead was placed in Woodstock, where they performed, they were out of place for where they were placed in the lineup. You know what I mean? Like.
Plus, they were tripping too hard.
Yeah.
Plus, actually, during the Dead set, there were some technical problems with some of the sound. Pretty sure they didn't have monitors or something at that point.
Yeah.
And with CSN, their performance, and why? Neil Young refused to be on camera. So when you watch the performance, the Woodstock movie, you'll see CSN. You'll hear Neil Young, but Neil Young he refused to be on camera. It was too distracting. So he's over there in the dark, and when they cut up the movie, there's no Neil Young on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, crazy stories from Woodstock. I'm a big fan of that movie and this whole story and everything.
But, mm-hmm. I got to play a wedding there right on the grounds with a bass player 10 years ago. He was in the band. And they have, like, you know, a hall there, a pavilion, whatever you call it.
Oh,
beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, I believe it's called Bethel Woods.
It's at Bethel Woods, right. So there's the huge music venue.
Yeah.
But on the grounds, there's places you can hold weddings.
Mm.
And it's right there. So it's neat.
Hallowed ground.
It was, yeah.
Hallowed grounds.
Standing right there on
the
pasture. So let's talk a little bit about how we met.
Okay.
Which was right next door.
Right next door.
Steve Matt, mutual friend. Right? It was a fundraiser event.
Mm-hmm.
And he had you be a part of it. And me, Butchie from Splintered Sunlight, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. August West.
Uh-huh.
Mikey B.
Okay.
And there were a few other artists. And I didn't know you or even who you were.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw you play. And I was like, oh, who's this guy? Wow. Look at this slide guy. He's a local guy playing slide. And I am a huge Allman Brothers fan, a huge Warren Paynes and Government Mule fan, and a huge fan of slide players, Derek Trucks, and Glenn Allman. So it really caught my eye, and then when we met and we talked, I felt like we hit it off right away, you know, kind of kindred spirits in a way, and we've been friends ever since, and we played together many, many times.
Yes, yes. I mean, I'll never forget opening for the Wailers with Ja People. That's pretty special.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
Havana, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Actually.
And so, all, you know, I think the lesson learned and all this, and the thing that really sticks out to me, you know, look, we played many stages, we've had a lot of fun, we're up there, we're under the spotlight and all this stuff, but it's the people and the friends that you make along the way on your journey and the relationships. The people that you play with, when we play together, we're connecting and we're communicating on a different level and not in English and not in a, you know, in a different language, and things that we've done and my bond with you and along with, you know, other people that we have bonds with, those are the things that are the most valuable things in life, and music is our kind of our guide in a way. You know?
No doubt. I mean, you know, especially with the crowd and the scene that we play to, I know that it's a place for the similar people to always congregate, you know, and it's like not just that they're coming for the show, but they're coming to see, hey, are you going to be there? Are you going to be there? And it's like, you know, that community that, you know, is a beautiful thing, but it's also just to have that, you know, that kind of symbiotic flow or whatever you want to say between the stage and the crowd, you know, and, you know, we played, but no, I mean, you know, everything is, I definitely feel blessed, you know.
Yeah, and our community is so special. Our community is really special. I can't tell you how many times the day I met you, it was coming together for a benefit. You know, we have many times, you know, our former guitar player, Mark Diomedi, he, you know, had some things. There were several benefits, you know, different things that come up. The guitar player for Splintered next door, he came up with a no. I'm sorry, his name is drawn a blank, but the community comes together when we need each other, it seems like.
Yeah.
It's really the core of our community. It's very, very special, and I think Ardmore Music Hall is the epicenter of our scene. You know, there's many other venues and stuff like that, but I think
Well, the connection to the Blockley and just being more of a grassroots mom-and-pop venue means, you know, I think it's definitely a place I kind of feel at home. You know, I know everyone there.
We do as well.
You know,
we
do as well. Yeah, and the Blockley was just a crazy, beautiful venue.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
That was.
But, sidetracking for a second, there's one other person I want to bring up, you know, just as part of, you know, what happened in the current event since the last show.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a Philadelphia area show, Jerry Blavitt's a pretty significant figure. People have different opinions, but I was exposed to his sound at an early age from my mom because that was her generation.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just uplifting music, you know.
Yeah, and it's a piece of the past that we had kind of a connection to, that were kind of an era that were kind of, unfortunately, because time is passing, we're kind of losing it. And Jerry Blavitt, when I think of Jerry Blavitt, my family owned a pawn shop for many years. It's still open, and it's on Broad Street. We opened a second store, which was my store, that was looted during the George Floyd riots in 2020. But our original store, my brother's still there, and it's on Broad Street, and it's just one block away from the Wagner Ball, which is where Jerry Blavitt's home base, where he put on his dance parties, and it was a very famous thing, which our parents have either gone to. There was the Hot Shop at Broad and Stetton that people would go to after, mm-hmm. which was a famous place like Arnold's, where it was like a drive-in, and they would go get a shake after the Wagner Ballroom, and they would dance.
Right.
It's really a piece. It's a piece of an era that, unfortunately, you know, guys like Jerry Blavitt are no longer with us, and there's not many people still around from that era. So it's really,
right.
You know, it's really,
it was a blissful style. It was a blissful. My mom was from 60th and Spruce, so you know there were these. It was just like the soda shop era. Right?
Yeah, Horn and Hardin's, Woolworths.
Yeah, Barson's. I think is the spot.
We're like just old enough to kind of have a good connection to that.
Right.
And to that, we're in our low 50s, I guess we'll say we're in our 50s.
Not quite 50.
A little behind. Okay. But we still grew up in the 70s, and we still remember that great generation of the old guys from the 50s, you know, and from the, you know, those, and we knew them. We knew who they were.
And that's what I'm saying. Music is what has brought us together, and all that music, it's all part of the, you know, the timeline of American soul music, which to me is my favorite. I mean, that's what inspired me to play, was the music, but, you know, the kind of the uplifting feeling of it, you know, bringing joy to not only people, but to myself too, you know, and giving myself a little bit of an outlet and a break from, you know, the monotony of whatever it was that I was doing otherwise.
100%.
But what made you want to play, man? What inspired you to play?
Well, I'll tell you a story. Story was in the early 80s. I was, I was 13. And I went to day camp. And I went to Camp America day camp. And we were the CIT. So I had been there for many years. And this was my final year as kind of like a camper. I was a CIT, which is the final year counselor in training. And I had this counselor named Herman Bruning. Herman, super cool, and him and his brother had a band, and I had just been introduced to AC/DC, and that was my gateway drug to everything, and it allowed my pubescent, rebellious self kind of come out through music. So I went to summer camp, and my counselor, along with his brother, had a rock and roll band, and they came and played at the camp. And I remember watching my counselor, who I idolized. He just looked so, he was just such a cool guy. You know, one of these people who's just the coolest guy in the room. Always the coolest guy in the room. Mm-hmm. Like Rob Perlman. We all idolized him. And I just remember his band playing there and him playing Beatles songs and him being on the ground playing the guitar and me being totally mesmerized and saying, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
There's a photograph of him.
So yeah, so what ends up happening is I always remembered that. Now, fast forward, I'm get out of high school and I'm working in the pawn shop.
So it was the showmanship that kind of
the
drew
showmanship, but also the volume.
Okay.
The power.
Interesting.
The
All
power.
Right. Okay.
The theatrics.
Okay.
And how cool he was.
See,
he was cool.
That wasn't it for me at all, but that's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's why it's
well,
so
the,
cool.
Well, the cool part of this story, the thing that, one cool part of this story that's really cool is even after I learned how to play guitar at 18 and even after I've done gigs and all this other stuff, I always remember that as the moment, the singular moment that I said, that is what I want to do. Well, Facebook comes around and we're on Facebook for a number of years. And I end up getting a notification. And the notification says, Dean Rubenstein, you've been tagged in a photo. And I go, oh, okay. And I think it's just one of my gigs is people, you know, take pictures or whatever.
Right.
I click on the photo. And it's a photo that I knew that I...
Of that moment.
I had no idea it existed.
Oh, my
but
God.
But there's me, this goofy, awkward, 13-year-old...
Curly hair, right?
Baby Huey... The Jufro.
Yeah.
The Jufro.
Yes.
But I had an AC/DC hat. And I'm totally mesmerized. My counselor's on the ground with the guitar. And I'm mesmerized, and I had no clue that this photograph existed, but I remembered it in my memory as the moment that it happened.
Whoa.
So to see this
right
was completely mind blowing.
Right.
And I have the photo to this day, and it's just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've played connected with Herman. I connected with Herman in my 40s. This was 13. He was my camp counselor. I hadn't seen him since 1982 or 83.
Mm-hmm.
And I found him on Facebook, and I ended up reaching out, and he still plays solo gigs, and I showed up, and now I know how to play, and we've played together a couple times, which is really super cool.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, that's full circle. Full circle.
Totally. From before you even picking up an instrument.
Right.
That's very deep.
Yeah.
That's the place you've done some shows or fundraisers. You do a lot of fundraisers. You've given back. I always see you like, you know, there was the Haiti hurricane that
yeah.
then you put together like a pop-up show for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, the bottom line for me is that I know karma is a real thing. And I know whatever you put out, it comes back. Bad things happen to all of us. But I know if I do good, it's just the golden rule. If we base the golden rule on all that we do in life and in politics and in everything we do, the golden rule, treat others as you would want people to treat you. And that's how, but I also understand people need a hand sometimes. And I'm very fortunate. I've grown up in a family, middle class family where of course, we've had our struggles and different things like that, but you know what?
But you told me you were from Northeast Philly.
I
have family from Northeast Philly, like
yeah.
right in the neighborhood, like
yeah.
Row Home on Kindred Street. Then I came to your house. I'm like, Northeast Philly. I feel like I'm in Battle Kenwood.
Well, it's a suburban house. I live in a split. I still live in a split level house.
And nice.
It's pretty ordinary. Thank you. It's ordinary, but it's my home. And I grew up, I've always lived in my entire life in a 2 mile radius. I've never left the 2 mile in my entire life.
Wow.
And home is where the heart is. But getting back to as far as, you know, giving and all that stuff, you know, some people are wired. I, from my mother, I get it from my mother, and I'm just wired that way that it feels better to me to give than receive.
You're a mensch.
I'm a mensch because I was raised by good parents. But to be honest with you, like in my heart, when I give, it feels a lot better than receive. Of course, you receive a nice thing. It's very thoughtful and it feels good.
Mm-hmm. No, I've
but
seen
I
you
really,
you're generous.
I like to give.
Yeah,
I really like to give.
I see that.
I've
seen that.
I enjoy it.
The first time I saw you, as a matter of fact, even before we met, because I was meaning to mention that, because it was like, it was a great set and it was a great scene there. It was at the Stir Fry Music Festival.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. People were very, it was like a morning set.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very, you know, there's a lot of, I, you know, look, no offense, I'm not, you know, I don't know, am I offending anybody if I say, you know, it's kind of like, it was like a Wookiee thing. Like a lot of Wookiee, you know what I mean? It was like a, It was like, and everybody, I don't, look, I guess, maybe I'm
wrong. I mean, it's a jam band festival. I did it all.
Right, it's a jam band festival. It was very Wookiee-ish. And people were doing psychedelics for through the night. I probably didn't get any sleep. And we had a morning set. And it also was very...
Was it morning? It was daytime.
It was like
morning.
I wanted it. It seemed like morning to me. People were walking around like...
But you were up on stage.
Which way to the porta potty? Yeah.
And rocking out to doing some Bob Marley and like jumping around, had some energy. It was like, you know, yeah, I think you had Rob on guitar then.
We did have Rob on guitar. He's electrifying. Yep. He's
special talent, man.
Absolutely.
What instrument did you play first?
In school, the first instrument that I started playing was drums. I took drum lessons, just rudiments and paradiddles and just that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Never did anything with it. And then I think I picked up a guitar in the pawn shop when I started working in 17 for my dad. We had these long periods where customers wouldn't come in and we'd be slow. And there's guitars hanging on the wall. So I would pick one up. And for a time, we had a guy that worked there named Charlie Peterson, who was a ripping guitar player. He worked for us. Mm. He showed me enough to kind of learn, and then
metal shredder kind of.
No, more like Cream and the stuff that and Clapton and Cream and
blues
Hendrix,
influence.
The blues influence.
Yep.
And that's where it started, and then really felt very comfortable. I think bass players are very in demand, so I think that. I linked up with a guitar player after I kind of learned enough. And bass is a little easier, I think, if you've got rhythm.
Sure.
A little easier, four strings, a little easier than guitar.
Yeah.
So I knew enough to kind of figure out the bass a little bit. So for many, 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 many years, I exclusively, when I jammed with people, for the most part, and when I've played in front of people, I've been a bass player up until D-Train and the Membranes, which was right before Job People. So for many, many, many years, for a couple decades, I played bass mainly.
I did not know that, but I did know that you played bass. So that's.
And I still love playing bass. If anybody needs a bass player, I'm available sometimes.
Big Dean.
I love playing bass.
Big Dean on the bottom end.
I do. I do love it.
That's smart. Man. Yeah. That's good. You know, I get more gigs that way for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I love it.
So you mentioned... what was the band?
D-Train and the Membranes. We were based out of Telford, believe it or not. And after I had not played with anybody for a while, and I answered a Craigslist ad for a vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out, and at the time, I guess it was mid-2000s, I didn't really necessarily have a musical direction. I just knew that I wanted to get back into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I loved singing. And I also had a very wide range of tastes and also a wide range of what I could pull off repertoire-wise. So this D-Train and the Membranes, it was with a few guys. I answered an ad. I didn't know them. I showed up. I sang. I got the gig. And we did little bar gigs and stuff like that. It was a bar band. But we did everything from, it was such a wide-ranging thing, it was everything from Stone Temple Pilots to Metallica to Tool to The Who behind Blue Eyes.
Singing the Tool?
Yeah, sober singing the Tool, yeah.
All right.
Sabbath.
Not something I could picture, but all right, yeah.
Yeah, it's in my wheelhouse.
Wow.
And it really prepared me for, I had no idea, but it prepared me for what we do now, because in my both bands, and Judy will attest to this, what I really love to do, and it's sometimes uncontrollable, is just make a left turn, and then if I get an idea in my head, oh, this will mash up well with this, then all of a sudden I'll just go into some strange song, a song that may be popular, that is in a totally different genre maybe, but fits. Just for the hell of it. Just
I've seen you do that. Yeah, right. Yeah. Shake Down Street into, what was that?
Gin and Juice.
I know.
It's getting hot in
here. I
mean,
you know, we've done some of that with Steel Your Peach, not into those songs in particular, but yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, most recently we did NXS. Dun, dun, dun.
That's funny. I saw Mike Miz on Facebook playing that riff because he's going to back up.
It's a similar kind of riff. You could kind of like, yeah, it's a similar.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. So anyway, I love the spontaneity. And actually, so cutting my teeth with all these genres of singing and I feel confident singing them, you just never know what you are going to get at a Job People or Dean & Company show. I don't know what we're going to get.
Well, and that's what keeps it fun. A lot of times I think about like what I enjoyed to hear when I was in the crowd. Not necessarily song-wise, but like, for instance, like, because I didn't see Jerry, I caught Splintered Sunlight. Was really, you know, and I saw Further and all that, but my first live Grateful Dead was seeing Splintered Sunlight at the Middle East when I wasn't even 21. I was sneaking in, and it was a weekly residency.
Yeah.
It was amazing. They're great, just really good shows.
Yeah.
The whole band sounded great, the vibe, the room, all of that. So, you know, help me, Dean, help me.
You're talking to a guy with the worst ADD.
We're talking about versatility
and seeing what you like to see when you go see bands and you saw Splintered.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, of course, hearing the shows, but that was what I was getting at. It's like, it was always an anticipation of what's coming next, you know? That's all part of the magic of the Grateful Dead shows in general, because, you know, the way that the band just continues to jam and it's into a space, you know, like, what's coming next, you know? So to be able to kind of take little curveballs.
Yeah, and their risks.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't pay off. And sometimes they don't pay off.
Right.
But you just, like, we're around enough and we have enough experience to cover it up and get the hell out.
Right.
But when it works, it is magic. It's,
yeah,
it's magic.
Totally.
And people remember. Right. Oh, remember that time?
Yeah, you did. It's getting hot. What is that?
Nelly.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, you know, it could be anything.
Right.
You know,
something. People still remember when we did the Welcome Pat Cotter theme song.
That's right.
Love
sometimes
that.
We do old 70s sitcom.
The best thing I've ever seen you two do is All in the Family.
Oh, yeah.
That is unbelievable. It's amazing.
Yeah, but the way Glenn Miller plays.
Once the baby hits our age.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days.
And you know who you... Wait, that's your line. All right, anyway.
So I want to take it to, it's something that might be interesting, maybe a little difficult in some ways, but, you know, there's viewers out there. I want to provide people with some value. In every one of these episodes, and having you as a guest, I was thinking to myself, like, you know, you're somebody, and I think I'm somebody that other musicians see as somebody that is somehow, industrious is the right word, but, you know, finds gigs and things like that. As a matter of fact, a good mutual friend of ours referred to it instead of Big Dean as Gigs Dean.
I know, Gigs Rubenstein.
Gigs Rubenstein.
I know, he happens to be the best keyboard player, I think, and I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate to rank them, but he is kind of the shit, but sorry.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, yeah. So it's only one person that really calls you that.
No, yeah. But no, I think I know what you mean. Like, if you're like me, I mean, like, and it's cool, you know, like, it's, like, I try to answer every message that comes in, but don't you get messages from people thinking that for some reason, like, that you can help them get gigs and you can, like,
well, yes.
That's what you mean, like...
Well, that's not what I mean.
Okay.
No, I mean, that happens. But right. No, my question was more, you know, I think there are a lot of... I know people that write great original music.
Yeah.
And you've written some great original music.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, is there any advice that you could give to help artists out there? You know, might be, you know...
How, right.
I'm like, I'll tell you what. It's not really that complicated in my mind. I mean, we love, and the music that we play, we love. However, I can also understand and kind of get in the shoes of the venue operators and owners and understand from their perspective. I think that's the hardest part for a lot of artists is that they can't do that. You know?
Yeah.
But you know, at the end of the day, we just have to sell tickets and alcohol, really. You know.
That's true.
Yeah.
And have the girls dance.
Yeah.
And if the girls are having fun, then everybody's having fun.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
No, I'm saying if the girls at the gig are at the gig and they're having fun, it's...
Well, then more people come and they spend more alcohol.
And it's infectious. And, you know, yeah, that's what I meant. I want the ladies to have fun, all right? Is there something wrong with that? Jeez.
I mean, no matter what, I think that part of the puzzle is, anyway, you know, that whether you're writing original music or not, you still have to kind of say where you're coming from. You know, all my favorite bands, no matter what their original music is, also paying, you know, some homage to whoever they were influenced by.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, makes sense.
I mean, I might not be the right person to ask for any kind of advice with regards to process, because anytime I have written a song, it's come in a different process or a different way, or it's written itself, or it's comes at a, you know, so there's no process that I necessarily take. I just know this, that if I, one thing that I think that people tend to do is try to overcomplicate things.
Uh-huh.
And I think the best songs of all time and the ones that people will remember are ones that just have a simple hook. I think we gravitate to some things that are more progressive and stuff, and that's great, and
right.
I'm into that. Definitely not anything that I've necessarily written that's anything either complicated or anything that's intricate.
Uh-huh.
But for me, I think that like the most memorable songs are just keep it simple.
Right.
That's why I love the Foo Fighters.
Oh. Okay.
You know, look what they've done. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's just for example. Their songs are they're pretty simple.
I don't connect, but no, I don't, you
That's
know.
That's fine, I'm just giving an example.
Right, to me it's not, you know, I didn't get into music for sophistication.
Right.
Though I like some sophisticated music. For me, it's always, I think Jerry had some sort of line that resonated with me in terms of what you connect with emotionally.
Yeah.
Which you can't really explain from one person to the next. But for me it could be, you know, you're the most primitive one chord blues if it's, you know, played in a haunting style like Sun House or, you know,
I mean, the Beatles.
Mississippi Fred McDowell.
The Beatles are a good example.
Yeah.
Like, none of their stuff is like overly complicated. It's mm-hmm. And it's all these simple little tunes that people remember.
Right, but they're a lot more tricky than an old
Yeah,
long
I mean,
blues.
You know, two of us, it's like all it is, you know. But I mean, look how brilliant and successful and you know.
It's about the band being on the same page. They had the vocal harmonies. They had.
If
all
you
the
have
pieces.
People with you and that are to make pretty music, it doesn't need to be super complicated or intricate. You could do a lot with just being you.
It's about lifting spirits. I think, you know, it's music is an ancient healing art.
Yeah,
that's what I always say.
I think there's also something in artists that has the tendency to want to, you know, gild the lily, so to speak, and like to try and refrain from that, mm-hmm. you know, is sometimes hard.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, the tendency is, well, this must be too simple, so it can't be good enough.
Right.
Whereas that's not necessarily the case.
Or sometimes
right,
people...
No, if it has a message and it's played with some feeling and soul and it comes off sincerely, I think that's where it's at.
The best songs of all time are just like your three chord songs.
Sierra Farrell, she's a newer artist. I mean, none of her music is all that. It's you know, song has some little things to it, but it's really about the delivery and her voice and just, you know, well, the production of it. But for sure, I'm right with you there.
Yeah.
Totally. So, time is just flying by.
I know, man. Time flies.
Ja People is the main band, would you say?
I would say so with regards to they take up the most of my, play the most Ja People.
Just celebrated 10 years.
We did.
Yeah.
And we had a big party, and you came and sat in at World Cafe Live, and it was one hell of a show. I was so happy with how it turned out.
Yeah, that was so cool. Thank
Just
you for having me.
It's my pleasure.
And your birthday, you had the cinnamon bun cake backstage.
We did.
That was nice. But,
absolutely. Actually, you brought your daughter, which was nice. It's a family affair.
Yes.
All ages.
Yes, and Lila met Junior Marvin. And I was like, she's been hearing Bob's music her whole life. And you know,
he probably got a kick out of it.
Yeah,
it's so great to work with Junior Marvin, and it's such an honor. Never would I think that I would end up not only not only working with a whaler,
uh-huh.
But also, you know, actually a collaborator on a lot of the songs that we have played. We are known for playing the music of Bob Marley first. And, you know, so never would I have thought that when I bought a Roland JC120, because I wanted to capture the sound of the Wailers, particularly Junior Marvin's sound, that one day he would play through my JC120 that I bought because I wanted to emulate his sound. So, and then we've become, actually, he was just one of the timing of when we became friends was around the time when my mother passed. And
this is crazy. No, go ahead. But yeah, you told me the story, but yeah, you should share it.
And you know, I just would get on the phone with him and we just started talking about music and Bob Marley and different things like that. And you know, and he said, well, you know, I was telling him about my mother, and he supported me like no one else and gave me advice. And then right next door, we did a show, our first show together.
Mm.
And my mom passed. And Junior Marvin was one of the main people. I mean, so many people supported, you know, gave me and my family support during that time. But I have to say, Junior Marvin, my new friend, who also happens to be the lead guitarist in Bob Marley and the Wailers, was one of the people that really gave me strength and really was there to support me. And then from there, he always says to me, you know, he says to me, your mom came to me and she told me to keep an eye on you. So he says things like that. It's just very special.
Huh.
So I wanted to just, there's no way I could thank him. So at the show at Ardmore next door,
mm-hmm.
I gave him a Les Paul.
I gave him one of my Les Pauls. That was amazing. Unbelievable.
And
wow.
He said to me on stage, mm-hmm. in front of everybody and everything else, he said to me, and he didn't say this to me in any of our conversations, he said to me this to me on stage when I gave him the guitar in front of a crowd of 500 people. Your mother wants you to be happy. Your mother does not want you to be sad. Your mother wants you to be successful. Mm. So take that with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. And I do take that with me. And, you know, that, you know. And so it's really just incredible. And Junior Marvin, I asked him to come and front Ja People for our 10th anniversary and come and play with us.
Yeah.
He said, well, I'll do it, but I want you to play the songs like the Wailers played them. And Ja People does not play the songs.
Okay.
We, from the very beginning, you know, wanted to put our own stamp on,
mm-hmm.
change the tempos. There aren't a lot of upbeat Bob Marley and the Wailers songs. There's mm-hmm. just a few. Could You Be Loved, Exodus, just a few that are kind of upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
At a concert, we want people to be dancing and upbeat, and so we raised the tempo on some, we changed the arrangements on some stuff.
Right, right.
And we changed it. So to have so we took his requirement of
right.
playing the songs
mm-hmm.
authentically like the Wailers did.
Right.
We took it on as a challenge, and we took it on as a masterclass. And Junior came in a day early. Well, we had rehearsals, and with Flicker, and we had rehearsals, and we. We're really, really happy that we nailed, and also with Wes from Wesley Rast.
Right, yep.
From San Noche.
Yeah.
He filled in on drums.
Great drummer.
And we did them, I recorded them on my phone and I sent them to Junior, and he really had very little feedback coming back to say, hey, do this different. We've been playing them for 10 years. We haven't been playing them like the Wailers did,
mm-hmm.
but we know the songs well enough, and we came together, and we were determined enough to get it right, because we knew that a Wailer was going to be playing it with
sure.
us. We were afraid of, some of us were afraid of his, I won't mention names, were afraid of his wrath, so to speak.
Right.
In other words, him,
not
you know,
really
he
please.
Can be a taskmaster and not doing it right, and you know, there's fear of failure that way.
Right.
But as
yeah, you delivered, man. You
as it turns yeah. out, we and I'm very proud of that.
Yeah,
I'm really
you
proud.
Should
of
be. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So we're wanting to run down on time here, so I want to not rush, but just a couple real quick things.
Yeah.
what's coming up soon for Job People and Dean and Company, Dean's Grateful Dead tribute.
Thank you. Yes. So Job People is there's a couple things that are coming up. They're awesome. We're doing Bob Marley's birthday celebration. We usually do it here at Ardmore, but it didn't work out this year there. But we're at Brooklyn Bowl. So we're at Brooklyn Bowl. It's actually the very first time we're headlining at Brooklyn Bowl, besides these Bob Marley for Kids shows that you know, these rock and roll playoff shows.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really the first time that we're headlining a show at Brooklyn Bowl in Philly.
Uh-huh.
And so we're super excited about that. We also have a great local band called Ear Me Now, and they're good friends of ours, and they're great. So that's on February 10th. Mm-hmm. On the very next night, Dean and Company will be in media at Sherry Punjab, which is a place that not only we play, but we love very, very much. We love the owner, Push Pinder. And
go there. Go to Sherry Punjab.
Sherry Punjab.
Eat all the Indian food and hear good music.
Mm-hmm. So Dean and Company is there on February 11th. So a very nice Valentine's weekend for everyone. The following weekend, Dean and Company is making our debut at Brooklyn Bowl as well. And we're doing Grateful Dead for Kids.
Oh, cool.
Grateful Dead for Kids, and I believe that's February 19th.
For those that don't know, there's a whole series, you know, if anyone out there has kids that doesn't know this, there's a series called the Rock and Roll Kids Playhouse. The Steal Your Peaches Gun, Grateful Dead, and Allman Brothers. Quite a few times, Ardmore Music Hall and the Brooklyn Bowl. And it's a daytime thing to bring your kids to. They do Bob Marley for Kids, as Dean's done. They do Beatles, Fish, David Bowie, Prince. So keep an eye out for that stuff.
Yeah, so February 19th, we'll be doing 18th. February 18th, we'll be doing Grateful Dead for Kids at Brooklyn Bowl, Philly.
And they can bowl and have good food. It's pretty good food down there.
Yeah, and one more thing that I feel like I need to mention here is that on the 17th, February 17th, it's the day before, Job People is going to be doing a very special, rare, unplugged performance at the Upper Merion Library. And it's going to be a very special event commemorating Black History Month.
Okay.
You know, we are proponents, we're a multicultural band, Job People.
Mm-hmm.
I have a multicultural heart, and we believe in equality, it's going to be great to be up here. I guess that's not terribly far from here. Upper Merion.
No, we played outside in our summer concert series. It was a huge crowd, so maybe some of those same people will know about it.
I hope so. It's the first time we're doing anything like this.
Like King of Prussia, about a 20-minute car ride from here.
Yeah.
So that's what's coming up for Job People and Dean and Company, which is great. And go ahead.
Yeah, I also want to discuss something else, if I could. Our new, because we're really partnering on this.
Oh yeah, you were talking about this.
On an initiative, my new initiative of 2023 of really giving back and some awareness of certain things. I just lost my dog. I just had to put my dog Colby down.
Yeah.
And if you're not a dog owner, maybe you say, "Oh, it's just a dog," but this loss to my family and myself has been the most heartbreaking grief that we have felt. I mean, maybe in my life, with my parents and other people, it's been different. It's a different kind of thing. Well, anyway, I've been grieving. I've been, for the last, it happened on the 2nd, and here we are, it's the 23rd, and I'm just 1 second at any time away from just completely crying, which is okay. We're completely heartbroken as a family. This dog meant a lot to us.
Yeah.
And then
you're like, I'll never do it again. Why?
It's going to be a while until we can do that.
Yeah.
But one thing that I want to really take on, now that I'm feeling this grief and dealing with this grief, and I've dealt with a lot of grief. I lost my parents in the last 5 years, both my parents.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost some friends. Judy, unfortunately, lost her dad. About a month ago or 2 months ago,
October.
And Judy, unfortunately, has lost a brother, and we have had to deal with a lot of grief. how we've dealt with it is music, and music has been very healing for us. It's been, what would we do without music?
I would be in therapy every day, because music is my therapy.
It's gotten us through.
Yeah.
But one thing that I've found through the grief that I have, even though you have the support of your family and your friends, even though you have music to help us get through this, and some of us may even have therapy and go and we may see a therapist or a counselor and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I really truly think that for those of us who are not any of us in a time of grief, when we're grieving and we're heartbroken, can use as much support as we can get to fill that empty hole that's there. And having I think just being people that have felt it and people that have felt the support of it, I just want to announce that we are, and we're actually, it'll be put up tonight, we're starting a new group. It's going to be one, it's going to be called, we decided it's going to be called One Heart Village.
Okay.
Grief support group. It's going to be a Facebook group.
Okay.
And we're going to try to do Zoom, Zoom meetings.
Okay.
Monday nights at 8 o'clock, when your show is over. It's not going to interfere with your show.
Okay.
And we're going to try to do some meetings. It'll also be a Facebook group where people can come to share their wisdom or share, maybe there's a beautiful saying or a quote, or maybe, you know. And I think it's just a place where people could go, whether they're friends or strangers, anybody, everybody's welcome, to come and just support each other, because inevitably we are going to have to, in our lives, one thing we're all going to have to deal with is grief and losing a loved one. And we've had to deal with a lot of it, and I it's something that I want to take on this year, and something that Judy's going to join me with in just helping us and everyone as a village navigate through losing somebody.
Well, that's important, as it's, you know, because all you need is love, and, you know, you're bringing a community together, or bringing any people together for any reason, especially something like that, where it's, you know, all for a good purpose, is that's pretty deep, man. Good for you. I like it.
Yeah, thanks.
So, so One Heart Village.
One Heart Village. The group is officially up.
Okay.
I didn't get a chance to post anything, but I did make the group. So if you do want to, I believe it's facebook.com/OneHeartVillage, or you can search a group called One Heart Village. There's probably no members except for maybe Judy and me.
Once you share it,
But yeah.
So cool. I mean, keep an eye out for
that. I mean, we've all dealt with loss.
Yeah.
And we're going to, unfortunately. Here's a place that you could go to for healing and just for some positivity and support.
Awesome. You hear that, everyone? That's pretty cool. I'll be looking for it. So
thanks.
Want to get at least one song in, because
I would love it.
Yeah. And you guys have worked out a beautiful David Crosby song. So
that would be nice.
So let's get a little song in before we call it a night.
This is my trusty travel guitar. I just it just got back from Jamaica with me, and it's been to London with me. It has a It bolts on. So anybody who does traveling, I highly recommend this guitar. Journey Guitars, I'm not sponsoring them or anything, but it really has done me well, and it's really high quality.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it will be soon. Okay, water? Sure, agua? All right. So, unfortunately, we lost a legend in the music business and in music history, David Crosby. Here was a song that I think really will be his quintessential song. And I think it's probably a song that he would like to be remembered as Wooden Ships. So let's give it a go, Mark.
Yeah.
Here we go. Ready, Jude? Smile at me, I will understand that a one thing I've got to know. Can you tell me, please? Yes, I've been eating them for 6-7 weeks now. Haven't got sent once. Probably keep us both alive. Putting ships on the water.
Thanks so much for joining us on episode 3 with Dean. Next week we have Tony Flagello, great drummer from Philly.
Good friend of mine, the best drummer in Philly. Tony Flagello, also known as Tony Catastrophe. Don't miss it. He's great.
Yeah, no, don't. Be there. We'll be here Sunday, Monday at 7. Thanks for tuning in to Mainline Beyond with Mark Singer.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Cool. Fun.
Good.
Is that off?
It is on.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Mainline of Beyond with Mark Singer. Next week's guest is legendary Philadelphia drummer Tony Flagello, and I'm looking forward to it. All shows are brought to you by ilovemarksinger.com. Don't be afraid to reach out if you or anyone you know is looking to buy or sell a home. And thanks as always for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the show.